I'm actually tonight going to be talking about the wonderful counselor. And, you know, a lot of times that phrase gets used around Christmas time. And I'm going to give you the scripture here in just a moment. But that phrase gets used around Christmas time, and it's talking about Jesus. But one of the things that just really caught my attention was that in all of the titles and all of the things that was being spoken about Jesus in Isaiah, one of the things that he said was Wonderful Counselor. Now, I'm curious, how many of you in this group here tonight have ever needed counsel for something? Maybe you needed to go to a professional counselor. I don't know. But even if it wasn't some kind of a professional counselor, just counsel, just needing counsel. And sometimes we don't know what to do. And I thank God that Jesus isn't just our Savior, and he isn't just our Lord and all the other things that he is for us. But one of the things he is our counselor. And he's not just our counselor. He's our wonderful counselor. Now, let me give you a few scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You know, when I read that, I have to look at myself, because before I can preach anything to anybody else, I've got to bring it home first. So I have to look at myself and I have to say, "Lord, am I really seeking you with all of my heart?" Because I think what happens is sometimes we will, you know, we just want certain things, certain answers, certain problems taken care of, you know, just certain things, but we don't want to get too radical. But he says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And I'll tell you, if there's any prayer I have for this church, it'd be that this church, that these people, that you would seek God with all of your heart. Psalm chapter 32, verse 8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Now, here's a scripture we were talking about. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Usually this is used during Christmas time. "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." And by the way, that is such a beautiful phrase, because it's given us two different pictures. Unto us a child is born. He's born. We know that he was born, unto mankind. But unto us a son is given. From the very beginning, God's plan was to give his son. Amen. And so it goes on and says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Then it goes on and says, "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." But it's interesting to me, it says his name shall be called. Now, we know his name is Jesus, right? But when it talks about the fact that his name shall be called these things, what it's really saying is this is his very nature. This is his identity. He's not trying to be this, not trying to become this. This is literally his very nature, his identity. And so the word wonderful, by the way, is the Hebrew word pele, and it means marvel, miracle, too wonderful for words, beyond comprehension, beyond anything that we have ever seen. Singularly unique, extraordinary, so vast that we cannot understand the full meaning, miraculous in origin. So that word, the Hebrew word there, when it says that his name is wonderful, it's all of these descriptions of who he is. In other words, Jesus would be beyond all the bounds of all human expectation. And then the word counselor is the Hebrew word Yaatz, and it means to advise, to counsel, to guide. It denotes one of honorable rank, one who is suited to stand near princes and kings as their advisor. It is expressive of great wisdom and of qualifications to guide and direct the human race. So when it says that the Lord is the wonderful counselor, then It's letting us know he is completely, totally qualified to advise, to guide, to lead. He's totally qualified. Generally speaking, understand a counselor is someone who advises like a lawyer, right? It's a person that can help you sort through issues in your life. And if I could have any lawyer on my side whatsoever, any counselor on my side, why wouldn't I choose the one who literally knows everything? And yet, so many times, we'll go seek counsel anywhere and everywhere except for him. Jesus talked about that. He talked about the blind leading the blind. They both fall into the ditch, right? So, you know, that person, that counselor, will help you sort through some issues in your life. And we understand that sometimes it may not be pleasant, but it's for our own good, because sometimes the counselor is going to have to tell us something that we don't want to really hear about ourselves. And most people, when they come to God, when they come to church and when they come to God, they're not really coming to be corrected. Their thought isn't, Lord, I'm asking you to just correct me today. I mean, most of the time, that's not the case. It can be. But most of the time, we really want to hear something that makes us feel good about ourselves. You know, and we say, well, I just need some encouragement today. I don't need somebody to rebuke me or correct me and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I just need some encouragement today. Well, look, I want encouragement all the time myself. I mean, we just, that's what we want. But the truth of the matter is, without correction, we're going to go the wrong direction. And so this counselor in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, is the sum total of all knowledge, all wisdom, all guidance, all direction, all truth, all counsel, and all insight. So let me give you the first main point tonight. And I don't know if I'll get through this tonight. I may, but I got a lot to jam in here. But number one main point is this: everybody needs a well-experienced and knowledgeable counselor. Now, Pastor Cindy talked about a little bit earlier how this word counselor is very closely tied in to the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit. But in the Greek word, in the Greek language, when it's talking about the Holy Spirit, it uses the word, John uses the word parakletos, the one who comes alongside, right? We understand that Jesus operates and works through the Holy Spirit. So he speaks to us, but his communication to us is through the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, look, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm going to send the counselor, the comforter to you. And so he doesn't leave us on our own. And everybody needs a well-experienced and knowledgeable counselor. Let me ask y'all a question. Have you ever got bad advice from somebody? Let me see if you've ever got bad advice from somebody. You know, some people will tell you to do the stupidest things because, you know what, it's not costing them. They'll tell you, boy, if I were you, I would do this. If I were you, I wouldn't take that. I would do this. I always think about a story I heard years ago about the state trooper that pulled the guy over, and he knocks on the guy's window with the baton, and the guy rolls his window down, and so he whacks him with it. He said, man, what'd you whack me for? What'd you do that for? He goes, well, when I walk up to your car, you have your window down already. Oh, okay, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then he whacks him again. He said, what'd you whack me for that time? He said, look, when I walk to your car, you have your window down and you have your wallet already out of your pocket. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then he whacks him again. And he says, well, what was that one for? He says, when I get up to your car, you have your window down, you have your wallet out of your pocket, and you have your driver's license out and ready to hand it to me. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anything else? He goes, no, that's it. He looks over at the guy sitting in the passenger side. He reaches in there. Whack! He said, what'd you do that for? He said, well, I was just fulfilling all your wishes. He said, what do you mean? He said, because when you get about a mile down the road, you'd have told your partner here, I wish he'd have hit me with that stick. So we understand we need an experienced counselor. And there are people in our lives that will give us wrong advice. And I will tell you this. I'll just give you, this is free advice right here. Whatever you do, don't get your advice from Facebook. Whatever you do. Please don't go to Iway Be Informed or Lake Charles Be Informed or, you know, whatever, please. So listen, everybody needs a well-experienced counselor, a knowledgeable counselor. Think about what it means that Jesus is a counselor and that he could literally be your counselor, my counselor. You know, people pay really good money for, you know, who is it? Morris Bart and the Gordon guy and all of these guys. What is it? That's their lawyer, their counselor. They, you know, when people are in really serious trouble, and they're going to pay as good a money as they can to get a lawyer that can get them out of their mess, right? But Jesus himself will be your counselor, your advisor. Now, let me give you several things here about Jesus, why everybody needs a well-experienced and knowledgeable counselor like Jesus. Number one, Jesus knows everything about everything, and he's never wrong. That's a pretty good counselor right there. Number two, he has all knowledge of the past, present, and the future of all things, all purposes, and all plans. Number three, he knows the very depths of science. I mean, he made the atom, and literally the atom awaits his order every day to keep going. God made not only the atom, but it'll blow your mind when you start looking into what they call subatomic particles and all. It's amazing how anybody can believe this all just came together by chance is beyond my comprehension. But he knows the very depths of science. Why? Because he created it all, right? Number four, he knows the depths of all creation. He knows exactly how big the sun needed to be. He knew how hot and how far away from the earth that sun needed to be so that we wouldn't freeze or burn. He created the eyeball and all of its complications. Just do a little research just to find out how the eyeball actually works and what is all involved in just the eyeball. And if you think ours is amazing, go take a look at a fly's eyeball or a bee or some of these other animals out there. I mean, it's incredible. And yet he knows everything about all that stuff. Number five, he knows the depths of truth. He knows the depths of truth. Why? Because he is truth. Truth is unchanging. It's unwavering. It never plays favorites. And by the way, truth doesn't change when society changes. The truth doesn't care, by the way, how you feel about it. It just stands and it works and it cannot be denied. Now, people can try to deny it for a long time, but ultimately, truth will always win out. And I want to tell you, even if the government outlawed the truth, it still doesn't change the fact that truth is truth. Amen? Number six, he knows the depth of time. I mean, that just blows my mind. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. Why? Because he's already there. People say, well, how can he be one God in three persons? And then you have some people that try to explain that by saying, well, you know, he is one God, but you know, he manifested in three persons because he was the Father, and then he became the Son, and then he became the Holy Spirit. Well, can I tell you, there's never a time when God was ever anything. He is. He says, I am, right? There's never a time when he was something. He has always been. Why? Because time, he's not limited by time. He knows everything about time. He knows the past, present, and future. Why? Because he is in the past, in the present, and in the future all at the same time. And so he is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all at the same time. He already knows the plans of all men and devils. That's number seven. He already knows the plans of all men and devils. So if you're dealing with some kind of a situation, and you have a counselor who already knows all the plans of all men and all devils, it would be wise to seek his counsel. His counsel is so good because it takes into account what is going on in places and conversations that he hears, but you have no idea about it. I love the story about the prophet who's pretty much laying in his bed at night, and God kept showing him all this attacking king's secrets. Kept giving him all the strategies, right? He kept telling him, and that king was saying, how in the world do they know this? Well, because there was a counselor talking to that guy, right? So it's so good. He knows everything. He hears everything. And understand, we can expect Jesus to be our top advisor. The president of the United States has all kinds of advisors, right? Within every presidential administration, there are all kinds of people whose sole job, they get paid full time, Their sole job is to simply give wise counsel and advice to the president on his actions or on his plans of action. And so counseling today, by the way, people are seeking counseling because they don't know what to do. Why? Because they don't go to the counselor who knows everything. So they're constantly seeking a counselor that they can go to. And I have found, I'm not anti-counselor, but what I have found is if most people would truly go to the Lord with the issues, they could save themselves a lot of money. Because that counselor is going to sit there and charge, you know, $200 an hour for you to sit there and tell them all your problems. And yet they don't even know the answer. Unless it's a man or a woman of God who can hear from God. But the Holy Spirit will tell you for free. How about that? So most seminary graduates, by the way, because it's become such a popular thing, most seminary graduates today are majoring in one or two things, either music or counseling, because both have gotten extremely popular. Pastor Mike Millay says it this way. He says, you know, in our seminaries, we're graduating a bunch of singing shrinks. That's what we got coming out. There's nothing wrong with seeking advice and counseling when you have a particular need in your life. I would always suggest, if you're going to go to a counselor of some kind, go to one who knows the Lord. Go to the one who knows biblical principles. Go to the one who's not going to lead you into humanism and into humanistic thought, but one that's going to lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ and one that's going to tell you the hard things that you need to hear. The Bible encourages seeking counsel when you need it, but again, you got to seek the right counsel. We must not lose sight of the fact that we as believers literally have access to the most wonderful counselor that anybody could imagine, and that is Jesus Christ. All right, so number two main point is this. What makes Jesus such a wonderful counselor to you? Well, again, he knows the depths of our human condition. I know people who will go to a counselor and sit there and lie through their teeth to that counselor. Why even go? Look, there are people who will go to a doctor and then tell, they're going to the doctor. They're going to pay this doctor, right? But they go to the doctor, and then when the doctor asks them what's wrong, they tell them, I'm fine. Well, why are you here? So he knows the depth of our human condition. We can't lie to him, right? He knows all about our weakness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Not only does he know what the enemy goes after and what he tests us with, but he passed the test, right? So he can show us how to pass the test. So he knows our weaknesses. The enemy was going after, when he tempted Jesus, by the way, he was going after what he knew would be weakness in humanity. And Jesus passed the test. You know, if I'm going to take a test and somebody has taken that test before me, I'm not going to go to the guy that failed the test and ask them how to do it. I'm going to go to the one who passed the test. All right. If I'm going to get any advice from somebody like that, I'm going to go to the one that passed the test. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 in the NLT says it this way. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses when he lived on earth. He was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. That was the NCV version. So again, he can relate to us. Sometimes, how many of you were talking to somebody, ever been talking to somebody and you're telling them your problems or you tell them what you're going through, whatever, and then you finish by saying, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Right? We want people to understand us. We want people that can relate to us. Well, he can relate to us according to the scripture. You know, sometimes when we're going through a difficult situation, someone says, you know, I understand what you're going through. Sometimes it seems empty, even if they say, I understand what you're going through. If they haven't gone through the same thing that I've gone through, then in my mind, I'm thinking, you can't really understand. You're being nice, and I appreciate that. You're trying to show me some sympathy, and I appreciate that. But you can't possibly understand what I'm going through if you haven't gone through it. But nobody can say that about Jesus, because the Bible says that he went through all of it. And so he does understand. He knows exactly what you're going through. And when you come to him in need of counsel, he knows your situation. And sometimes, look, this is what I found. Sometimes I'm struggling with what somebody else did, and I go to God, you know, complaining about it. And what I found out is there are people in my life at times that I thought I needed to forgive because I thought they did something wrong to me. But when I went to God, God said, no, you don't need to forgive anybody anything. What you need to do is repent because you were wrong. Amen. Well, how many of you know, I don't like hearing that, but I needed to hear that, right? So we got to go to the Lord and find out what the issue really is. And a lot of times what I found out is the issue was me. In fact, when we were serving under another pastor, and I've shared this before, but we were serving under another pastor, and sometimes he'd say things that I didn't understand. And he'd deal with situations in a way that I didn't understand. Well, you know, I didn't see the big picture. I didn't know the big picture. I wasn't the pastor of that church. I served under him. And I was in leadership, but I didn't know the big picture. He couldn't tell me everything about everybody. And I remember I was wondering, and I was questioning about a guy that I really thought was really awesome, and he was on the praise and worship team. And, man, I mean, he'd get everybody fired up, and he stepped down all of a sudden, and I literally was stepping out of my place in ignorance, out of my place, and trying to get that guy back up on that platform. It's like, man, we need you up there. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, I just, you know, pastor said, I need to step down for a while. I need to take some time off. And I couldn't understand. And then finally, the pastor finally told me, he said, listen, I can't tell you everything about everybody because that's their personal business. And you just have to trust if God put you here to serve under me, you're going to have to trust that I'm hearing from God. And you're not always going to like everything I do, right? And so, and come to find out later, because the guy himself confided in me and told me, the issue was he had an issue with pornography, and that was causing other issues in his marriage and everything else. And so the pastor says, we need to get you down off that platform so you and your family can heal, all right? So, and here I was sticking my nose in business that was none of my business, and I was wrong. And there were other things that were like that I just somehow I thought I knew better. I thought, I don't understand why he's doing this or saying this or what. And then I finally began to ask the Lord about it. And the Lord said this. He said, you know what? He can hear from me. So what you need to do is if you got a problem with him, you need to speak to me about it because you're not his boss. I am. You speak to me about it. And if I need to correct him for something, I can correct him because he can hear from me. And so what I found out in that time serving under that pastor, 95% of the time when I had a difference, 95%, at least 95% of the time, I was the one wrong. I was the one that didn't understand. I was the one that was in pride and thought I knew better. And the other 5%, it was amazing to me. He would stand up behind the pulpit and he'd say, you know what? I said this or I did this, but God rebuked me and told me I needed to make this right. And he would stand in front of the pulpit and he would say, in front of the people, and he'd say, I was wrong about this. But it happened because I started handling things the right way instead of the wrong way, right? Okay, so I said all that. That was free advice, right? But Jesus understands. Again, he knows exactly what we're going through. He knows whether or not the problem is us or if the problem is really out there. He knows our heart. In fact, he knows our heart better than we do. He knows our mind. He knows that's scary. He knows everything in our minds at all times. He knows everything. So let me ask you, have you ever been betrayed? Well, he has too. Have you ever been wrongly accused of something? Well, he has too. Have you ever felt misunderstood? Well, guess what? He has too. Have you ever been gossiped about? He has too. Have you ever suffered horrible physical pain? Well, he has too. Have you ever suffered great loss? He has too. Have you ever been in sorrow, even to the point of death? That's what the Bible says. He has too. Have you ever felt like those who you pour your life into turn their backs on you? Well, guess what? He experienced all of that. His closest circle abandoned him when things got tough. He understands. He knows you. He knows everything about you. Amen. And so again, what makes him such a wonderful counselor? Because he really does know you. You ain't going to pull the wool over his eyes. He's going to tell you what you really do need to know. Your friends will try to make you feel better about yourself. Jesus will tell you what you need to know. Amen. Y'all seem so happy about that. Number two, here's awesome. The reason he'll do that is because, number two, he cares about you. He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7, we'll give you two different versions of this. It says, God cares for you, so turn all your worries over to him. And in the NLT, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Hey, you know, here's what's beautiful. He's not just a hireling. He's not just some counselor that you're paying, you know, to listen to you and maybe give you some advice. He's family. And listen, some counselors only care as long as you can pay the bill. The moment you stop paying the bill, you don't get their time. But that's not Jesus. He cares about you as a person. You're not his client. He cares about your character. He cares about your spiritual growth and your emotional welfare. He cares about the pain that you suffer. He considers you of great value, of great worth. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and 27, he said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. In other words, they're not putting anything into this, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I can tell you this about worry and anxiety. It's not going to add any time to your life, but it will take time away from it. It'll shorten your life. Aren't you worth more than the birds that fly around? Well, God thinks so. Amen. He thinks so much of you that literally he sent his own son to die for you, to rescue you from your pain, from your suffering, to give you a new hope, a new life, and a new start. Why am I telling you all this stuff that you obviously know? Because I want you to understand that he has made himself available to you, and he loves you in a very personal way. Why would you not seek his counsel? Why would you not want to get his mind on it? He cares so much that he'll help you with whatever problem you're dealing with. He'll help you deal with those problems. He'll give you answers that you could not have gotten otherwise. You know, there have been times, maybe you've experienced this too, but there have been times when I was, whether it was working on a car or working on a house or doing something around here or trying to deal with a situation or trying to help a person that's in a situation that's new to me, and I don't have an idea. I don't have a clue what to do. And all I can do is go to the Lord. And it's always amazing that sometimes the way it works is like all of a sudden you just know something you didn't know. It's amazing to me. I sat in with a counseling session with Pastor Mike. He asked me to go and sit in because it was a lady that was in desperate need of some counsel. And it's amazing to watch him because what he does, you know, he's got degrees and everything and all of that. But what he doesn't depend on his degrees to take care of that. He'll sit there with the person and he said, I won't say a word until I hear from God. And then he'll hear from God on it and he'll say, so before you tell me what's going on, let me ask you this. Is this going on and this and this and this? Well, yeah, how did you know that? Well, because the Holy Spirit told me. Right? He is the best counselor in the world. The Holy Spirit is. And so if you want to be a good counselor, don't get your counseling from what the world has to say. If you want to help somebody, hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to them. Often tell people, you don't really want my natural advice. What you want to know is, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying? I had a guy one time, he was trying to give me all kind of advice on something, and I just knew in my spirit, it's not right. I just knew, and he was a Christian man, and he was trying to say something, and I just knew it just wasn't right. And so finally, I just stopped him. I said, listen, can you tell me that the Spirit of the Lord is telling you to tell me this? Can you tell me this is the Holy Spirit leading you, and this is God speaking through you to me about the situation? And he backed up, and he said, well, no. I said, well, I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to hear it. I don't need your opinion. You don't need my opinion. What we need is God's opinion. Now, if you want to pray for me and get a word from God, by all means, I'm willing to hear it. But your worldly wisdom is not going to solve this problem. Amen? And look, because we're all human, many times we just want to offer advice. But sometimes it's just out of our own experience or the things that, you know, maybe it worked in our life. But listen, not everybody is the same. So again, that's why we're called Wonderful Counselor. I've shared this in our life, and Pastor Sandy and my walk and in ministry and the things, the choices that we've made because the Lord led them when they made no sense to make them. And so over and over again, when it made no sense financially or any other way, we obeyed the Lord, and then the Lord would make something happen that we couldn't have made happen. And we've seen it over and over again in our lives. Why? Because we got the counsel from the one who really knows what's up, and he knows the past, the present, and the future. So again, that's why he's called Wonderful Counselor. He didn't just leave us to fend for ourselves. You know, maybe you've heard somebody say, you know, God helps those who help themselves, right? I hear that kind of thing all the time, as though they're quoting scripture. And they're proud of themselves because they go, I know that's in the Bible somewhere, right? The Bible doesn't ever say God helps those who help themselves. Now, he does talk about sowing seeds and that kind of thing. But there's some truth in that we don't just sit back and expect other people to do for us. But it's also true that when you have reached the bottom and you can't help yourself, when you see no way out, God steps in if you call on him and put your trust in him. We have the picture of Peter walking on the water. I mean, he was trying. At least he had the courage to get out of the boat. But when he began to sink, there was nothing he could do to save himself in that moment. And when he called out to God, God did save him. When he called out to Jesus, he saved him, right? And it's the same way in life. You know, when you're going to feel like you're going under sometimes. When you obey God, sometimes it's going to seem so impossible. And when you have no way out, he will step in. He will. So he gives us this promise in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we can tell Jesus all about our struggles. You know, I know people who, if they don't have drama in their life to talk to other people about, it's like that's all they know how to talk about. And if they don't have some drama that they can get on Facebook and talk about or just talk to their friends about, if there's no drama, they'll create some drama just so they have something to talk about, right? And so, listen, if you're going to tell anybody about your struggles, tell him, right? And let me tell you, if you want his wisdom, he'll give it to you. And we have a promise in James that if we ask for it, he'll give it to us liberally. In other words, more than we need. So we can tell him about our struggles. We can tell him about our stresses. We can tell him about our relationship issues. We can tell him about our grief. We can tell him about our temptations. We can tell him about anything else that we happen to be dealing with, knowing that he cares for us. All right, number three, another reason why Jesus just makes this awesome, wonderful counselor is because he is committed to you. He's committed. John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, I want you to understand this. God, and we have to really see this in the right order. God is not really, he's not waiting for us to commit to him in order to commit to us. God is already committed to us. Now he's waiting for us to commit to him. When you give yourself to him, he promises, just like a marriage, that's why we're called the bride of Christ, he promises to have and to hold you from this day forward. And when God says no one is going to snatch you out of his hand, he means no one. God will not allow anyone to keep you away from his love. Amen? Now, I will tell you, I believe, and I see it in the scripture, no one can snatch us out, but I can walk out if I want to. If I choose to reject his love, then that's me. That doesn't change the fact that he loves me. I've said this many times over the years, but God, and this might sound crazy, but God will love you all the way to hell. It's the only place where his love can no longer exist for you. But all the way until that point, he's going to love you. No matter how much you reject him, no matter how much you push him away, he's going to love you. That love is right there waiting for you to turn around. And so, again, nobody else has the power to snatch us or pull us out of his hands. So Paul understood this fact when he wrote the book of Romans. He wrote Romans 8:38-39. He says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The only thing that can separate us from his love is our own will. And he gives us that. And we see that demonstrated in Scripture. Adam and Eve was perfect before they chose to push him away. Satan himself was perfect before he chose to go his own way. Right? So nothing can separate us from the love of God outside of our own will. He has committed himself to love us. And so if I were to go to a counselor, I want to go to one who is committed to me, right? Who's committed, who truly understands and wants the best for me. All right, number three, main point. How do I get the most out of my appointment with the wonderful counselor? So once you turn to somebody and say, you probably need to set an appointment. All right. Okay, so how do I get the most out of my appointment with the wonderful counselor? Well, here we go. Number one, be brutally honest with the counselor. Again, it don't do you any good to lie to him. But what happens is, usually when we're lying to somebody else, what we're really doing is lying to ourselves. We're trying to somehow make ourselves feel better. It's hard to admit that we have a mess. It's hard to admit we've made a mess. It's hard to admit we are a mess. Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Look at the way the message says it. I like this. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. So, again, be brutally honest with the counselor. He's the one guy that can take it. Number two, listen to the counselor's voice. Now, how many of you know that most of humanity has a really bad habit of seeking counsel, but then not doing what the counselor says? Mark chapter 9, verse 7 says, then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son, listen to him. I love that story. It's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, there all of a sudden Elijah and Moses shows up, and Jesus is up there, and they're all glowing and everything, and a cloud comes down and surrounds them. And the Bible literally says, and Peter got nervous, and he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. So then he comes up with his own idea, right? This is our biggest problem. Instead of asking God what he wants, we want to promote our idea. So Peter had his own idea, and he goes, hey, Jesus, how about this? We're gonna build you a house right here, and another one for Moses, and another one for Elijah. And he had his idea, and I love this story. We don't have time to go look at it all, but you can go back and look at it. And in the moment, it's like as Peter is running his mouth, God speaks up out of the cloud and says, this is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. In other words, Peter, shut up. Shut up. Stop running your mouth. You don't know anything. He's the one who knows something. Listen to him. And so many times, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God is right there, but we don't listen to him. Now, we may hear what he says with our ears, but we don't listen to him. We don't take it to heart. All right, so listen to the counselor's voice. Number three, do what the counselor Jesus tells you to do. So it's not just hearing him, but you got to obey. You got to do what he says to do. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to obey when you don't understand, when it doesn't make sense. Do what he tells you to do. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So notice what he says there. They hear the voice, but it doesn't end there. They follow me. His sheep know his voice, even when it's being spoken, I believe, through a man or a woman of God. The reason I have the pastor that I have is because I hear God's voice through him speaking to me. Really, the only reason that I should be anybody's pastor is because they hear the voice of God speaking through me. If it's for any other reason, then it's not the right reason. So what do you do after you've heard his voice? James chapter 1, verse 22, But, and this is the ESV, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So when I hear it and I don't do it, the Bible says I'm deceived. I'm literally deceived. And I want to tell you, we have churches full of people all over this nation who are living in deception. It's the only reason, the only explanation for why people are allowing and accepting and promoting things that are so anti-God, anti-biblical, anti-moral. And I wondered, and I literally asked the Lord about that. God, I don't understand it. How can people read the Bible? How can people claim to be Christian and promote these wicked, wicked things that are being promoted? You know, mutilating children to change their gender and murdering babies in the womb and promoting, you know, homosexual marriage and not just that, but promoting just living in promiscuity and sexual immorality. And just, it's like it's no big deal. And this is what he showed me, because they're not doers of the word. They're only hearers, and they're deceived. And the moment you choose to hear but not do what he says, you allow deception to begin to come in. James 1:22 in the NLT says it this way, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. All right, number four, main point. How does the wonderful counselor speak to us? How does he speak to us? Well, these are pretty simple things, really. Pretty elementary things. And the last things that we're going to talk about here, these are things that will, if you will do these things, they will keep you in safety. They'll let you know what is counsel coming from the Holy Spirit or counsel coming from the world or from deception, okay? Now, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Now, let me mention this. In that particular scripture, I went back and because I was curious about this, sometimes, you know, when I'm reading, the Lord will prompt me to go and look something specific up in the original language. And so I was curious about that. In an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And I used to think that what that meant was you just got to go find a whole bunch of different counselors to tell you stuff. But that never made sense to me, because what I found is when you go seek counsel from a whole bunch of people, what you find out is they all have different opinions. And you talk about get you confused. But what this really means is it's not talking about seeking counsel from a bunch of different people. What it's talking about is getting an abundance of counsel. It's the same word. It's not even a plural word. I don't know why they translated it that way. In the abundance of counsel, specifically this is counsel from the Lord, there is safety. In other words, don't just do with just a little bit and think you got enough. No, you want an abundance of his counsel. You don't ever want to get to the point where you think, oh, I got this, right? There's safety. All right, so how does he speak? Well, obviously, I hope you know this. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through the Bible. Look at what it says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love that scripture. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's literally, it lights up. It lights up the way before me, and it lets me know whether or not there's danger there. It lets me know whether or not I'm about to step off of a cliff. I mean, it lights the way before me, and it allows me to go forward in a very dark world. Psalm 119, verse 24, your decrees are my delight and my counselors. What is he saying? Your word is my delight and my counselors. And there's something interesting there, and this really would get into a whole, really, I don't really have time to get into it, but that word decrees can also be translated testimonies. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And the word testimony literally comes from covenant. When God speaks something, God speaks in covenant language, and it's trustworthy. And so your decrees are my delight, and they're my counselors. God speaks to us through that written word. Number two, he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor Cindy was talking about this just a little earlier. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in John chapter 16. In John 16, 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. Again, I've said this so many times over the years, but you cannot go wrong. You cannot make a bad choice if you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you cannot be deceived. You cannot believe a lie if you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he will guide you into all truth. That means he's going to take you out there. I don't know if y'all have ever, has anybody here ever gone on like a guided hunt or a guided fishing trip or something like that? I have, and I'll tell you, they're expensive, so it's not something I spend my money on. But I've been blessed over the years where people would call me up and say, hey, Brother Dwayne, you want to go on a hunt? And they paid the way. Or you want to go fishing? And they paid the way, right? And one thing I noticed, because I have a little boat myself, and I noticed that when I got in my little boat and I went on that lake and I tried to fish, I might have caught one or two here and there. But when you go with that guide who knows what he's doing and knows where he's going and he knows where all the sweet spots are, you load up your ice chest. I mean, I've noticed that. Why? Because he knows what he's doing, right? And it's the same way the Spirit will guide us into all truth. He knows what he's doing. He knows where all the good stuff is. And he also knows where the bad stuff is to avoid. In fact, I remember going along riding with this guy, and I said, well, hey, why are you going around this way right here? He said, well, because it was just open water right there. I said, why are you going all the way around like this? He says, well, because you can't see it, but there's an oyster bed under there. And he said, and if I try to go over that, I'm going to rip the bottom of my boat out. Well, I was glad he told me that, because when I went out there, I made sure to avoid that area, right? Now, we'll tell you that. Got to tell you a funny story real quick. So me and Pastor Cindy, I knew of another place where that guy showed me there was a little cut. Now, it's all open water, but there's a little cut that went through between these two little islands out on Big Lake. And so she wanted to drive the boat, so I'm letting her drive it. And I'm kind of sitting up in the front, and we're going through that little cut. Well, I had told her, I said, look, just go through here and go straight through here. Well, she didn't know I meant, you know, keep going straight. So as soon as we get through them little islands, she takes a quick left, and next thing you know, we hit a sandbar, and I almost flew out the boat, right? Well, why? Well, because she didn't know. She didn't get the right guidance, and I wasn't real clear on what I told her. But anyway, but the counselor, John 14:26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, just Jesus talking, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've told you. How many of you have noticed that sometimes you can forget stuff? Isn't it awesome that we have a promise? We literally have a promise from Jesus that the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that he's taught us. And I've found that when I need it, it'll be there, right? Now, I may not be able to quote it to you right now, but when I need it in that moment, that thing, which if I got it, if I caught it, when I need it, it'll be there. That's the Holy Spirit reminding us. All right, number three, he speaks through people with godly wisdom. That means that those who do not lean to their understanding are the ones that you want to listen to. Again, don't seek counsel from people who lean to their own understanding and their own worldly wisdom. You don't want to take advice or counsel from people who are not led by the Holy Spirit. So did you know that Moses had a big problem? I don't know if when you were reading through about Moses, if you remember this, but back when he was leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness, he was literally wearing himself out. And Jethro, his father-in-law, came to him with some advice. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 19 through 21, it says, now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. Now, you got to remember, this is a large group. Many believe that it's probably about 3 million people. And Moses is wearing himself out. And his father-in-law gave him good advice that I believe, seems to me, advice that came from God. And he says, Moses, you do the job, but don't get so caught up doing all the stuff that takes you away from doing what you really should be doing. This is why I say praise God for Brother Ron and Brother Wayne and those guys that cut the grass and those that take care of things around here that we don't have to take care of anymore. I thank God for that, because those are things that take time, and it's a good way for people to take part in what is needed here at this particular work. But God had to give Moses some advice, because he was literally wearing himself out, and he took it, and he took it through his father-in-law. Now, usually people aren't that crazy taking advice from their in-laws. But he took it. He listened. Now, Proverbs chapter 15 says this. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. All right, let me caution you. Again, be careful about who you receive counsel from. Not all of what people call wisdom comes from God. Now, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast or be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual. Now listen, demonic. If it's not wisdom from above, then literally the scripture's telling us here that if it's earthly, if it's unspiritual, in other words, not led by the Holy Spirit, it's literally demonic. I mean, that's hardcore right there. And it goes on to say, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. But again, remember, there is safety in the confirmation of godly people, Bible and the witnesses of the Holy Spirit. All of those things, there are safety there. Understand, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. And if you're like me, you know, you're not really looking to make any more mistakes in your life, right? I don't want to make any more bad judgment calls. I don't want to do anything else in any way that is not led by the Holy Spirit that's going to stunt my spiritual growth or the spiritual growth of people around me. I don't want to do anything that is going to in any way bring dishonor to God, the God that I want my life to glorify. And if that is the way I really want to live my life, then I've got to go to the wonderful counselor, and I've got to seek his heart and seek his advice. You know, again, I told you I have a pastor, and there have been times when I called him because I was really in a situation I didn't know what to do. Had to make a decision, had no idea what to do. And I would call him, and his first question to me is always this. It's always, is that what the Holy Spirit told you to do? Pastor Dwayne, did the Holy Spirit tell you to do that? I said, no, sir, he didn't. He said, well, then why are you even talking to me? I thank God for a pastor who will be real with me like that. Amen. So the one who is too wonderful for words has all wisdom and is ready and willing to help us is available. And he's available right here and right now. Amen. But if you're in this room and that is your situation, you don't know what to do about it. And maybe you've tried to seek advice from people and so on and so forth, but you don't have your answer yet. Why don't you just lift your hand right now? Let's just go to the wonderful counselor and let's ask him for his wisdom right now. Now, if you have it all together, I'm thankful for you, but I'm raising both of my hands. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us on our own. Lord, you gave us this wonderful counselor in Christ Jesus. You gave us the Holy Spirit by which we can communicate and we can live and we can be led. And Lord, we can be guided. Lord, we all have decisions to make. We have decisions to make every day, all day. And we need your wisdom. We need your guidance. Lord, since you know everything about everything, Lord, we're asking for your guidance. We're asking for your help. We're asking for your wisdom. Lord, we don't want to step out in the flesh and do anything, Lord, that is not led by you. We don't want to create any Ishmaels, God. Father, we want to be led by you. So I'm asking you, Lord, your word tells us that if we lack wisdom, to ask you for it. Lord, we're asking right now. We're asking for supernatural wisdom, Lord, with how to handle every situation that's heavy on our hearts. Lord, every decision that we need to make for our future, Lord, we're asking for your wisdom. We don't want to lean to our own understanding. We don't want our thoughts to be sourced from some demonic source, God. We want our thoughts to be sourced from you. So, Lord, I'm thanking you right now that you made that available. So, Lord, I'm asking you for every person within the sound of my voice, Lord, pour out that wisdom that you promised us. Pour it out on us. Lord, we say we will listen to you. We will obey you. God, we will do what you tell us to do to the best of the ability that we have, God. By your grace, we will obey you and we'll do it your way. And God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, that you do not leave us alone in this world. Thank you, Father. You always have the answer. And so I thank you for wisdom being poured out right now to your people in the name of Jesus. Amen.